Hello, welcome to the Fuck It Diet Radio. This is episode 3. I am your host, Caroline Dooner, and today I'm going to be answering some listener questions. So, you know, just sit back. All right, guys, the first question today is, how do I keep persisting with this anti-diet approach? Which I know without a doubt is the right way to go, but when I've gained some weight and I've had to buy new clothes and I'm feeling simply fat, it's hard to accept and I'm heavier than I ever have been by about 15 pounds. It's been about 6 months and I've truly let go of restriction, both physical and mental, which is fabulous. But now I'm trying to work on the body positive part to accept my now bigger body. Well, first I do want to say that that really resisting where your body is a little bit of mental restriction, which I talked about in the last episode. I explained what mental restriction is. It's not active mental restriction if you're not, you know, guilty about the food you're eating, but because body, weight, and food have been so connected for so long, it is a little bit of mental restriction still. So just keep that in the back of your mind. But my biggest advice on this is just to have you look at those beliefs that are making you feel bad about where your body is right now. Because if you hadn't ever heard anything about the way bodies should be or that gaining weight is quote unquote bad, you would feel perfectly fine about where you are. There are cultures currently and in the past that really did see gaining weight and bigger bodies as being optimal. And so if you can just see that with that shifted perspective, your body isn't an issue at all. It really, really, really is just the beliefs that are underneath and in your subconscious that have to do with what you feel about your body and what you feel about weight gain and what you feel and believe about how it's all connected to your worth. So what I recommend a couple of things. First of all, do some free writing and have the intention of writing about what beliefs you have about weight, specifically weight. And I would try to write out lots. I would try to write out like 20 to 50 beliefs because you actually probably have a lot in there. Things that you've heard people say, things that you've heard on diets, things that you've been worried about. Kind of free associate and see what comes up. And then use that awareness to, instead of it being in the back of your mind and it kind of controlling you from the dark, essentially, now with awareness, you're going to be able to kind of lessen the power of those beliefs. Also, plug, I am releasing a book on March 1st called Your Beliefs About Food Suck, which is all about this, really. And you can find it on my site, a link to it on the episode page on my site as well. But I share a method in there called EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique, which is tapping. It's like an acupressure system that helps you release emotional patterns like this that have to do with beliefs. So if you are interested in that, buy the book. It'll be really, really helpful. But besides that, just awareness will be really, really helpful, and kindness towards yourself, because you're just operating on things that you used to believe and used to feel because of all of this cultural stuff about weight. So it's understandable, but it's possible and totally worth it to unlink yourself from those beliefs, which do suck. The other thing I recommend is writing a letter to yourself from your body. Obviously, you need to use your imagination here, but you can and you will. And it's really, really, really insightful to hear what your body has to say on the matter of not being accepted. I know that sounds super out there, but everyone who's ever done this has been really, really amazed by, I mean, I consider this a really strong way to tap into your intuition and figure out what's really going on. So try it, write yourself a long letter from your body. And I'm super curious to hear what happens. So write back in and let me know if that helps. The next question is, question. There are lots of times when I find myself feeling full and satisfied, but I still really want to eat. It's not really emotional or boredom eating. It's just me genuinely wanting to eat because I love food, but not feeling hungry. Do you think there is a reason for this? What can I do about it? Okay. The very fact that you are stressed about your eating because you love to eat and you're not hungry is a little bit of mental restriction. So just be aware of that. I feel like it's possible that every answer will start this way. Just so you know, you're dealing with some mental restriction. But there are many possible reasons for it, and I'll go through a couple of them. One is if you've just been restricting a lot, this is a phenomenon that happens when you start eating again. There is this hunger that's not really hunger, and it's what it really is your body biologically just trying to keep you eating and trying to make sure that you don't stop eating so it can replenish and fix your metabolism, essentially. But it'll be like if you eat a lot and you feel full, you'll still feel hungry and you'll still want to eat even though you're not hungry. And people really struggle with this because it feels insane. And it is a weird sensation. It is really hard to tell what's happening. But I am here to tell you that I've experienced this. Many, many, many people have experienced this, especially during the phase between restriction and normal eating when you're really trying to up your food. And it will pass. And so there's no answer except eating is okay. And just sitting with that is also okay. So say you're sitting there with a full stomach, but you still feel a little bit hungry. You can make the choice, like either keep eating or don't. It doesn't make the biggest difference what you do because your body is trying to catch up anyway. The way that I want people to start looking at metabolism is like it's a wheel. So every time you eat, it's like pushing the wheel, which makes it go faster and faster. And the less you're eating, the less the wheel is being pushed, so the slower it goes. So if you just think about it that way, you can remember that when you're eating, you are stoking the fire, essentially, or pushing the wheel and keeping it going. So it's all good, really. That's the truth. So it's either that, or honestly, it's mental restriction. There is some part of you that feels like it's not going to get to eat this food that you love because you can love food. I mean, we're supposed to love food. We're wired to love food. Food is wonderful. We need food. And you're fully allowed to love food and you're fully allowed to eat more than you're hungry for. But people who are neutral with food, who know that they're allowed to eat as much as they want and need, for the most part, there are exceptions to this rule, but for the most part, when you are full, you just don't really care if you keep eating this food that you love. And that doesn't mean that there won't be times at restaurants or when you have something special or, you know, one night here and there where you are like, I just love this food. I'm not even hungry, but I just want to finish this plate or I just want to eat another helping. That's normal eating too. But if you feel like you have a consistent habit of wanting to keep eating this food that you love, it's most likely because you believe that you're not allowed to eat as much as you want. So really, really examine that. Because the more neutral you make food and the more allowed food becomes, the less likely you will be to really, really, really stuff yourself when you're not hungry anymore with food that you love because you'll know that you can eat it later in the night or the next day. So hopefully it's one of those two things, and that is helpful to you. Something else I want to talk about is what we are going for. So what we're going for is food normalcy and food neutrality, which means that there are no good foods, there are no bad foods. Food is just food, and you can truly, in the moment, decide what you're hungry for, what you want, and you will eat what your body craves. And when you're not in your own way, which we are when we're dieting, when you're not in your own way, you're able to choose and feel and truly be able to tell what your body wants. Does it want a salad? Does it want a brownie? Does it want chicken? Does it want cheese? Does it want greens? Does it want fruit? You can tell, and the more normal you are with food, the more neutral food is, the more you can actually read those signals without judging them. And the clearer they become, the more you pay attention to them. That is the goal. Being able to eat intuitively without overthinking it, without it being this big, important, precious thing. Because when food is neutral and the stakes are low, you know, you'll be able to tell what you want, but it also doesn't matter, if you know what I mean. Like, if it really, really mattered to you that you ate the perfect thing, then you would be stressing out over whether you should eat chicken or beef or, you know, whatever. You would be worried that you would make the wrong choice. But when you know that the stakes are low with food, food is neutral, there's no good food, there's no bad food, then you can actually make a choice that comes from an intuitive place and not an overthinking, fearful place. It is totally possible. It is the way that I eat now. It is the way that so many people who have been really, really miserable and obsessed with food are able to eat after doing some sort of fuck it diet like recovery. The other thing that will happen in this food neutral place is while you're eating this food that you've intuitively chosen, you will be able to, without overthinking it, without it being such a big deal, and without there being any perfect place to stop, you'll generally stop eating when you don't want to eat anymore, when you're not hungry anymore. And it's not, there's no need to obsessively try to track your hunger and your satiation level. It'll just happen. It really will be like you lose interest in finishing your plate. But the thing is that you cannot force that. What it needs to get there is true neutrality. So that's what I've just described is the goal. It's where we're going. That's food normalcy. That is normal eating. That's what we want, right? And that's where you're going to go. But in the meanwhile, there's this big phase in between. In between restriction and obsession is a phase that's necessary to go through before you get to that food normalcy. You're normally starving and you are still obsessed with food and you still don't believe that you can eat all the food that you want. So your body is biologically wanting you to eat a lot of food because it actually needs that food to stoke the fire and spin that wheel that is metabolism, like I was talking about earlier. So it's biological. You really are that hungry. But it's also emotional because for so long you've been denying foods. And now that you're telling yourself you can eat, you aren't going to be able to believe yourself until you prove it. So two things are going on here. It's why people feel so hungry and starving for a really long time after they've been restricting when they're trying to let themselves eat whatever they want. There is a phase. It can be a week. It can be a couple months where you're kind of just eating nonstop or you feel like you're eating nonstop. And different days will be different than others. But this is the time where you are doing the necessary work to fix your body and heal your relationship with food. And I want you to look at it this way. If you had been on a famine, you were on a famine, which is like being on a diet. But if you'd actually been in a famine and you hadn't had access to enough food, which is what a diet is. You didn't have access to enough food for any amount of time, say 1 month or a couple years. When you finally got access to food again, which is what's happening on the fuck it diet, you would eat nonstop and rest nonstop for a really, really long time. And if it were a famine, you'd just be letting it happen. You know, you'd be understanding why you were so hungry and why you were so tired, and you just let it happen. You'd let yourself gain weight. You'd understand that this is like a totally normal, healthy biological reaction to what you'd been experiencing. But because it was a diet before and because we're so afraid of weight, we resist it and we just make the process even more difficult than it needed to be. So if you can just trust the phase between restriction and normal eating, which is eating a lot and normalizing and neutralizing food, you are going to be so much better off. You're going to get to normal eating so much faster. And I promise you it will work out really, really well. Okay. So this was an episode where we did some Q&As. Next episode is going to be an interview with Summer Inanen, which I'm so excited about. And it should be really, really fun. That'll be episode 4. So I want to just do some housekeeping. If you have any questions like the ones I answered today, please send them in. You can send them in through my website, thefuckitdiet.com. If you have any success stories that you'd like to share, I would love to share them. I have plenty of clients that have success stories. And so I could do my own organizing and share them with you guys. But just for simplicity's sake, if anyone else has any that they'd like me to share, I would love. And success story means like somebody who was obsessed with food and miserable with food and is now feeling totally different and normal and happy and neutral with food and not really caring about it. I also really, really hope that if you like this podcast, you will rate it and review it on iTunes, because that will help it get in front of other people who need to hear what we're talking about here. So you will be helping me and the Fuck It Diet and the cause out so much if you rate it and review it. I appreciate that so much. It really, really does make a difference. You know, I thought you only could do it on your desktop, but you actually can do it in iTunes. I mean, you can do it on your phone, but you have to go to the iTunes store. You can't do it from your podcast app. I think that's the difference. Or you have to search the Fuck It Diet in your podcast app, and you can't just bring up your subscription to it. So you can review it on your phone and on desktop. And I've been hearing that people are having a really hard time, that it's like not letting them send it, and there's weird stuff with the nicknames. So if you've been trying to send a review and it hasn't been working, thank you for trying. Maybe you can try again, but I still appreciate you trying. And if anybody else has issues, I've just heard that like trying over and over makes it work. I don't know why it should be so hard. I don't get it. But hopefully it's just a little glitch that'll be resolved soon. The other thing is, if you like this podcast and want to help me make this consistently, I've been making a lot of episodes that are short in the beginning, just because I want to kind of get the ball rolling, and I want to get out some basics, and I want to get some reviews, and I want to get it in front of people. Oh man, there are, what are they called? Oh my God, I just had a total brain freeze. Oh, I need to cut this out. Motorcycles, that's what I was trying to say. There are motorcycles outside my window. All right, anyway, I've been posting a lot of short little episodes in the beginning, and what I'm assuming is they're going to become longer episodes. You know what? I don't know that. I have no idea. I have no idea. I don't know how often I'm going to post these. I don't know how long they're going to be, but I am raising money for this podcast on Patreon, P patreon.com/Caroline Dooner to help me produce this better, more consistently, and weekly. Eventually, I would like it to come out every single week, even though I've already been putting them out more often than every single week. That is probably not going to last unless it is supported by you guys. But you know what? Just I'm acting like I know what's going on right now, and I don't know what's going on with this podcast. So yeah, and speaking of how little I know what's going on, I'm going to do a totally random section where I'm going to tell a story.
Random section.
So, my parents really don't like cursing. They really, really don't. They're pretty boring and conservative. And I don't think they're listening to this. But if they are, they know it's true. And it's fine. But, my mom is so mortified that this is my business name. And she's partially, really proud. And she thinks it's great. And she thinks it's helpful. And she's really happy for me because she can tell how much happier I am now in my life, just in general, than I was back during dieting days and other things. But yeah, she basically, she's really not happy about the fuck it diet being the name. And she also kind of at the same time thinks it's hilarious because she's so anti-cursing that she's like, this is just what I get. What you resist persists. She's going with her new age books that she's read, which I agree with. She resisted the cursing and it just came back full force. But that's not actually the story I'm telling. My email address, my personal email address with my full name in it, I have a lot of Google accounts for some reason, and my email address is the only one that it was letting me use for the webinars I was doing when I was trying to use Google Hangouts on air. And I'm using that account for webinars for the Fuck It Diet and for videos for the Fuck It Diet for my Intuition Mastermind program. And I thought, you know what? I should change the YouTube channel associated with this to the Fuck It Diet. And the way you do that is through the Google Plus page. So I went to the Google Plus page, and it really doesn't want you to have it to be a business name. It wants it to be a first name, last name. So I was playing around with how to have the Fuck It Diet as a first name, last name. And I was playing around and I did a lot of different things and it wouldn't let me do plain fuck for obvious reasons. So I was just doing different permutations. And finally, I landed on one. And then the next day I was emailing my parents and my parents' friends, and they all were like, what is the matter with your email address? And I realized, of course, my personal email, now, you know, the name that it sends with through, you know, any inbox said the Fuck It Diet, which to everyone else that I email, every person that I email for business, for the most part, they know what my business is. And so it's not a big deal. It's actually fine to email back clients or other people I'm collaborating with. It's fine. But for the people who don't know or who don't understand or who won't recognize that it's me, I can't change it back. Google has now locked my account. They didn't lock my account, but they locked the name because I changed it too many times. So it's locked for 90 days. So every email I send is now from the Fuck It Diet, no matter who I send it to, no matter who I'm sending it to.
Okay, end of random section.
Okay, I have another question here that I'm going to answer. Here's the question. Actually, I'm looking at the wrong thing. Here's the question. I know you address the fear of not being able to stop eating and that it's not rational, but where do all these people in this country fit into that? Oh, whoa. Okay, let me reread that. I know you address the fear that not being able to... Oh, God help me. Okay, I know you address the fear of not being able to stop eating and that it's not rational, but where do all of the obese people in this country fit into that? My mom has been obese since I was born and is now diabetic, and I'm afraid I will end up like her. However, she's also been dieting since I was born, and she still seems to obsess about weight. So is the fear of food really what's making most of the country overweight? Because from a restrictor's point of view, all of the overweight people have just let themselves go, but maybe they haven't. Maybe the goal is really to let yourself go and be free of the mindset. And when I say overweight, I mean in a way that is unhealthy and leads to diabetes and heart problems. All right, there's a lot here to talk about. So I am positive that when you truly neutralize food, truly, truly, truly neutralize food, and are not afraid of it, and let yourself eat and have refed yourself so your metabolism isn't compromised, that your relationship to food really does change. And that healing of the relationship with food is the healthiest way for most people to eat. And I mean, I don't know your mom's history with diabetes, but I would guess that if anything was going to help her prevent diabetes, it would be to learn to eat normally with her body's cues. However, that's not always true. Sometimes the body, we all have different ways that our body will go under stress. We all have different genetic kind of like breaking points and different ways that our body will manifest our stress and poor health. So some people that's diabetes, some people that's hormonal problems, some people that's some sort of cancer, some people that's heart problems, some people, you know, there are allergies, you know, there are different ways that different bodies process stress or different environmental pressures or toxins. And so I have no idea whether your mother would have gotten diabetes no matter what, but the fact that she's been dieting since you were born and seems to still obsess about weight does suspiciously point towards the fact that, well, it's just another little clue that dieting doesn't work, right? Now, of course, another thing is I want to know whether you've ever read the book Health at Every Size, because it's not the weight that directly leads to health problems. You know, weight is more of a correlation than a causation. That's not the way that we culturally view it, but that is more scientifically supported. If you read Health at Every Size, you will read about this study that was done that essentially proved that weight and health are not nearly as related as we think they are, that our health has way more to do with our habits, our genetics, and also our social status, which is pretty weird, but makes a lot of sense if you read that book and also Linda Bacon's other book, Body Respect. The social status thing is more related to how much power we feel we have over our actual lives. People who feel like they have a lot of autonomy and personal power and choice tend to have better health than people who feel like they don't have any choice, they don't have any power, they don't have any autonomy, they're experiencing shame or prejudice. That is an amazing finding because it actually makes a lot of sense and just proves that it's kindness towards ourselves and other people that's really going to make the difference in health, and that weight does not have as much to do with health at all. I really recommend you read the book Health at Every Size. It will explain everything in such better detail. But that is my answer to your question. That, well, I guess your question is, will you be able to normalize your food with weight, and how do people become obese, right? Your question is, Will you be able to normalize your relationship with food, and how do people become obese? The answer is yes, you will be able to normalize your relationship with food, not if you keep dieting, but if you actually try to normalize your relationship with food. How do people become obese? Lots of different things. Dieting's one of them, environmental things, genetics, eating to numb can raise people's set points, and then they start dieting, and then it just spirals, and it's really, really hard to regain control over that. But there are plenty of obese people who are actually really, really healthy, and there are plenty of obese people who are not healthy, just like there are plenty of thin people who are really healthy and plenty of thin people who are not healthy. I know that's completely against everything we've ever learned about weight and health, but I promise you, it is true, and it will only benefit you and your relationship with food and your health if you can jump on board. But you don't have to take my word for it. You can read Health at Every Size and Body Respect, and it should be pretty helpful, I think. All right. I think I have said all that I can possibly say. To recap, please subscribe and rate and review this podcast to help it get in front of other people who need to hear about the Fuck It Diet. Please support this podcast on patreon.com/Caroline Dooner if you want to help me make this better and more often and consistently. Oh, and if you become a patron on Patreon, you get access to patron-only episodes, like little clips. I'm planning on forcing my podcast guests to sing duets with me, which should be really fun and funny. And I'm only going to share them probably with patrons, because that's just the perk. I also have an honesty feed. Check it out. There's some cool things that I have for patrons. Please send in your questions. Please send in your success stories. And what else do I want to say? Oh, Summer Innanen is going to be such a fun episode. So tune back in next time. I don't know when I'm going to post it. I'm probably going to post it next week. Probably going to post it next week. All right, guys. Thank you for listening, and I will talk to you soon. All right, here's this song egg. God, I just got so tired. What the heck? Ultimate guitar, ultimate guitar, ultimate guitar. The song. I heard a cover of a cover of a cover of a cover, and I thought it was a new song. No. Wrong thing. Okay. Taking off my ring. You go your way, baby, I'll go mine. Now and forever, till the end of time. I'll find someone new, baby. We'll say we're through, and you won't matter anymore. Ain't no use in me crying, 'cause I've done everything, and now I'm sick of trying. I've thrown away my nights, wasted all my days over you. I just had the really, really lame thought that this song could be about food. That's so dumb, but it's true. Do you remember, baby, last September, how you held me tight each and every night? Whoa, whoa, food, how you drove me crazy. Well, I guess it doesn't matter anymore. That's really dumb, Caroline. That's really dumb. But you know what? It sort of works.